We begin the card daf Masech Tzvachim daf Kuf Tes Vav. Begin three lines down at the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had qualified the halacha of our Mishnah. Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvi said that in our Mishnah we spoke about exceptions to the liability to the prohibition of shchuti chutz, of slaughtering something, doing a carbon out of its perimeter that it's allowed to be. So now we said that although a carbon asham is supposed to be slaughtered inside the Azara, however, if someone slaughters a carbon that's mechutz zman, it's not yet reached the time when it's supposed to be brought, where the person's not supposed to bring their carbon yet. So if one's going to slaughter it outside, he's going to be exempt. So on that, qualified Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvi, he said that halacha was only taught if one is bringing that carbon asham, lishmai, for being a carbon asham, what it's supposed to be brought for that person, bachutz. That's something that's not viable inside yet because it hasn't yet reached the time. So that's not considered El Pesach or El Moed. So one's not liable for doing that outside. But if, let's say, he says someone brings that carbon ashram, shaloi l'shmai, not for the sake of that ashram, let's say for an oila, then it's actually viable inside. Because a carbon ashram, unlike Chatas and Pesach, which you mentioned in the beginning of Masechta, if you bring a zavach, kol zavach, which is shaloi l'shman, not for its namesake, it's kesher. It's just not all about Shem Chayva. So since it would be viable inside, one's actually liable for doing that outside. Now on that, Rav Huna disagreed with Rav Chilkiya, and he said, is it possible to have something that if you're doing it lishmai, the carbon nashim, if you would bring it inside right now lishmai, it would not be viable, it would be possible because it's mechutz zman, hasn't yet reached the time. You tell me if you do it shalei lishmai, it's going to be viable? No, the whole halacha of the opening mishnah of our masech that says any carbon that's done shalei lishmai is going to be kosher, is only, but if you would do it lishmai, it would be for sure kosher. In this case, where it wouldn't be kosher lishmai, it's not going to be kosher shalei lishmai, and hence he disagrees, and he says if one is going to slaughter this carbon asham, that's an obligation. If he's doing it shalei lishmai, also he's going to be exempt because even shalei lishmai is not viable inside. That was their machlekes. Says the Gemara, le misayeli, let's bring a raya from the following brisa to Rav Chilkiya that there is a liability for a carbon asham that's mechutz zman if one is doing it shalei lishmai bachutz. Where although lishmai one would be potter, like we said in the Mishnah, but like Rav Chilkiya had said, but if one does it shalei lishmai, one would be chayv. Why? The brisa says as follows. So you would think that I would exclude from the liability of Shchutei Chutz, where it says it has to be something that was not brought El Pesach El Mayid, which excludes, but if it's not viable to be brought El Pesach El Mayid, where then one's not liable for doing it on the outside, so I would think you would also exclude Af Eilas Mechus Zman Bebailim, also a carbon Eila from certain owners of those carbonas that are lacking their time yet to bring it. For example, a woman who gave birth, or mitzaira, since it's not fit for them to yet bring it inside for their mitzvah, where it's not time to bring it yet. So one would think, okay, so it's not royal, lovely, El Pesach El Moed, therefore one's not liable for doing it on the outside. Which, as we said in the Mishnah, it's not the case, because the Eila and the Shlam, although the Chiv is not the time yet, but one could bring it as a Nedava, and therefore it is considered viable. But that's what the Bryce is saying, one would think one would exclude it from the liability of Shchutei Chutz. Or Va'asham Nasir Va'asham Mitzaira. Or let's say a Nazar or Mitzayra that they have to bring a Karban Asham. If let's say there's some invalidating part regarding it, which later on the Gemara is going to explain what is the invalidation, one would think, okay, so since it's not valid, if one is going to do it outside, that one would not be Chayv, because it's not valid to be done inside. Tamalema, that's what says the Brisa, the Pasuk teaches the word Shar. Now, the word Shar, Chesef, Eiz, all the examples that the Pasuk says are seemingly superfluous, because the Pasuk could have just said that if someone's going to slaughter it in the camp or is going to slaughter it out of the camp and he does not bring it al Pesach al Mayid, so I would know it's referring to the karbanas of the ox, of the lamb, or the goat. So why does it say the word shar? To say mikamakam in all situations. Why say kesev, the lamb? Mikamakam in all situations. Why does it say the example of Aiz, the goat? Mikamakam in all situations, to include all these cases that the liability of Shchuti Chutz is going to be pertaining to, let's say, the Eila of the Yoledes, or all those cases where it hasn't yet come time for them to bring it, because ultimately it could be brought as an Adava. And even for the Ashim Nazar and Ashim Mitzayra, that there too, although there's an invalidation regarding it, someone would think it's not Royal Level Pesach HaMayid, to say that no, one is going to be liable for doing it outside in that situation. Now, the Gemara makes the following Dik. Vilu Chatas Shayara. But regarding when the Brisa talks about cases that are being added on by the extra word shayar or chesav or eiz, that one is liable for shchuti chutz, it doesn't mention the liability of a karma chatas. It says we'll include the asham of the nazir, the asham of the mitzayra, but it doesn't say regarding the chatas. So says the Gemara, b'may iskinen. So what exactly are we talking about when we're saying that although that this Ashram Nazar and this Ashram Etzayri are puzzle? So again, one would think, well, would not be liable because it has to be something that's brought inside, that's kosher, that you would be chayv on the outside. Still, we're including that, no, you're liable for doing it on the outside. What's the case? Ilema bizmano, if it's in the appropriate time, where it's reached the time when the Nazar is time to bring his Ashram, or when the Metzayri is time to bring his Ashram, and one is doing it for the namesake of that Ashram, so then my Yiri Ashram. So then why are we only including the carbon Ashram for the liability of slaughtering on the outside? For lechatas nami, even the carbon lechatas should be liable because you don't even need a reber really for even the Ashram, because of course it's time and it's fit for the Ashram inside. Those are the classical cases that you chayv for doing it on the outside. Ella rather says the Gemara, obviously, we're talking about shaloi lezmanai. We're talking about that, no, it hasn't yet even reached a time when they're supposed to bring their carbon Ashram. And still we're including that the Pasuk is saying those extra words as a liability for doing the Ashram on the outside. So he explains the Gemara B'mai. So then what's the case talking about? Ilema lishmai, if the person, the Nazir or the Metzayra, is slaughtering where it's not yet time for them to bring it, and they're slaughtering on the outside for the namesake of an Ashram, then the question is, but then why? Ashram amai chayim. Then why is there a liability for slaughtering Ashram on the outside? But it's not kosher if it was slaughtered inside, as we learned the halacha in our Mishnah, that the Mishnah said that these cases of Ashram and Chatas, since it's not Dizman yet, it's Mechuz Dizman, one's not liable for doing on the outside. Now, as Rashi points out, and even if one would say, no, it is considered ro, fit to be brought inside, if one would do it shaloi lishmai inside, but that, as we said in the previous half, no, that doesn't work, because it's lacking uprooting it from it being an Ashram, where everyone agrees, as it is right now, an Ashram, it's not fit to be brought inside in the case of lishmai. So then why would one be liable for doing the Ashram on the outside? Elalav rather proves the Gemara must be talking about shaloi lishmai, where it's being done not for the namesake of the Ashram, and it's mechus zman, and still we see from the Braisa that we're including that there's going to be liability for doing it on the outside. That's like Rav Chilkiah, where we see that even though this is something that would not be kosher if it was done for its namesake of the Ashram inside, because it's mechus zman, still it would be valid if it was done shaloi lishmai, and therefore there's a liability of doing it shaloi lishmai on the outside, because that's the only way we could explain the Braisa, which included in the case of Ashram Etzayra and the Ashram Nazir, that one's liable for doing it on the outside in contrast to Chatas. So that's like Rav Chilkiah. And not like Rav Huna. Says the Gemara, no. La'olam bizmanai. We're talking about where it is already the time for them to bring their karbanos. And it's told ma v'shaloi lishmai. It's where he's doing the Ashram on the outside, not for the namesake, doing, let's say, for an olam. And we had to include that case where the reason is because, essentially, when one does a karban shaloi lishmai, as we're going to explain right now, according to this Tanoic opinion, it's actually puzzled by a karban Ashram, which therefore there's a necessary chiddush to say, because generally if something's puzzled inside, so then one's not liable for doing it on the outside. And that is what we're saying, that no, it's already zmanai. It's time to bring it inside. But it's being done shaloi lishmai, which would generally invalidate the carbon, which would generally make it not liable on the outside. Because Reb Eliezer, it's going like Reb Eliezer, the Omar, which we said this in the opening mission of the Masechta, the Omar makshinan ashram lachatas, it says we compare the carbon ashram to the carbon chatas, where it becomes totally invalidated if it was done, let's say, in the Azara, in the way it's supposed to be, if it's done shaloi lishma. And that's what the Braisa is teaching us, that even so, there's going to be a liability for doing it on the outside, even though one has uprooted the total designation of an Ashram. So why is one liable? Why are you liable on the outside? Didn't you say anything that that's not kosher inside, which Ashram shaloi lishma, according to B'liyazir, is like a chata shaloi lishma, that's totally possible, so one should not be chayv for doing it on the outside? Still, if one would have brought in the Ashram inside and slaughtered just regular, it would then be valid as a regular carbon Ashram because it's already Dizman, and it would have even fulfilled the obligation of the owner, because when he's doing it, Shalei Lishma on the outside, that's not uprooting the essence of what it really is, where it is Stama Lishma. So therefore, even now when he's slaughtering it, it's still considered, quote, ro, to be brought in lishma, inside, if it was done lishma. So, although now you're doing it shalei lishma, so it would be possibly to shalei lishma inside, but this carbon right now is ro level pesach amayid, don't do it shalei lishma. This carbon could be brought inside. El pesach amayid lo hivyoi, because you're supposed to, it's already this man. So therefore, even if it's being done shalei lishma, but it's a carbon that's fit to be brought el pesach amayid, and therefore you're liable for doing it bachutz. Now the truth is, that this halacha would apply not just to Ashram, which was the diik the Gemara had made, or it sounds like that what's only being included in this Asham Atzar and Asham Naz is only Asham Nachatzas. No, the truth is, it would even be to the Kar Machatzas, where, of course, we even learn out the halach of Asham, where it's compared to the Kar Machatzas, that if it's done Shalei L'Shema, says the Gemara, according to the Tan of the Braisa, one would also be liable for doing it on the outside, because it's already Dizman, and this Kar Machatzas could already be brought inside, and you're not, you're doing it outside. Now, the Chiddush is, even though you're doing Shalei L'Shema and it's being pasul, but it could be brought inside L'Shema, and therefore you'd be chayiv. But the Tana Tafel, the Tana the Braisa said the secondary case, which was telling us that even in such a situation where it'd be pasul inside, you're going to be liable for doing it outside again because it's fit to be brought in if it was done in its appropriate way of Lishma, which is in the case of the Ashram, v'hu adinikr. And of course, the same halacha would apply to the primary because what's the difference? Ultimately, both of them, the Ashram and the Chatas, would both be pasul if it was done, shalei Lishma. Which is just telling the secondary case that even Ashram, which is learned from Chatas, and of course the case would apply to the Chatas itself, which in the Brice and Teres Kaima says explicitly that we're talking about the way the Gemara is answering, that it's talking about that it was done bizmani, but shalei Lishma. Now, the Gemara had to say that it was, that this Brice is like Rabbi Eliezer, because were it to be like the Rabbanan, then you wouldn't even need a ribui. Because in such a situation of the Ashram that's done Shalei Lishma, it's actually received inside, even though it was done Shalei Lishma, because the Rabbanan hold that Ashram Shalei Lishma is like all other Kabbanas, that it is Kasher, and therefore if it's Kasher inside, one's Chayav for outside. But that's what it's saying, it's like Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why you need that a ribui in the Pasuk to say that it's going to include even the Ashram, and for sure the Chatas, that's done Shalei Lishma, which is, even though it's pasul, but since it's kasher in its lishma state, so it's el pesach el ma'ilo hibi, and everyone's chayav doing it on the outside. So therefore it's no riot of chilke, because it's not just ashram, it's even chatas, it's not too much shaloi b'chutz zman, so b'zmani, but it's because of shaloi lishma, which although it's pasul, but it would be kasher inside, if it was done appropriately, there was one's chayav doing it on the outside. The Masechta Tashma is being a different riot of chilke, and again, to try to refute the opinion of Rav Huna. Says the Braisa, now the other way, Yochashani Merab. So I would think I would include in the liability of Shchutei Chutz of Eilas Mechuzesman Begufa. If let's say it's a carbon Eila of those individuals who are lacking time in the carbon itself. For example, let's say the carbon is within 8 days of when it's born, when the carbon is only valid, an animal to be brought as a sacrifice when it's 8 days old. So I would think that just like we said before, that if it's Mechuzesman Bebailim, then it is kosher because the carbon oily is kosher, could be brought as an adava. So I would think the same thing would apply, which is not the case because the carbon itself is problematic over here. It's not a valid carbon yet when it's within 8 days. But I would think I would include that to be liable for shchutei chutz, just like we said when this mechuzes man bebailim, or v'chatas. I would think to even include a carbon chatas bein megufa, whether it's lacking time of maturity in the body of the carbon, or bein mebailim, or whether in the owners, which is, for example, let's say a nazar or mitzayir, where it hasn't yet completed their days of when they could bring their karbanas, that there too, by mechuzes man, one would be liable for doing it on the outside. On that time 11, that's what the Braisa says, the Pasuk teaches, v'pesach ol moed, that he didn't bring it to the entryway of the ol moed, which he's supposed to, which teaches us, but kol she'ein ro lovi b'pesach ol moed, whatever is not yet fit to be brought to pesach ol moed, that ein chayav nalei, and then one's not liable on them for if one does it on the outside. So the Gemara again makes a diak. Here it only includes the chatas, that's not going to be liable for shchutei chutz. But v'ilu asham, whereas the asham nazeh and the asham etzayra, which if let's say they are mechutzes man in the bailim, when the owner has not yet reached his time to bring them, shayara, that was left out, and that was not included to be exempt from the liability of shchutei chutz, which obviously is, you could infer from the brisa, that one would be chayiv in the case of mechutzes man bebailim in the carbon asham. So that has to give more similar discussion as in the previous part of the Braisa. But Mayaskinan, so what exactly are we talking about? Ilei Melishmai, if the animals here are being brought for their namesake, so Asham Nami Lifterei, so then why is the Dig telling us that by Asham you'd be Chayev? Asham should also be exempt because it's not fit to bring the Asham Shalei Bezmanoi Bachutz because it's not viable inside as a carbon Asham because it hasn't yet reached its time. So if you do it on the outside, you should also be exempt by the Asham, not just by Chatas. Elala, rather, says the Gemara, isn't it talking about Shaloi Lishmai? It's being done in a Mechuzes Man state on the outside, not for the namesake of the Chatas. So therefore, by Chatas, you're exempt, because by the Chatas, it's not viable inside whether Lishmai or Shaloi Lishmai. Not Lishmai, because it hasn't yet reached the time, and that neither is Shaloi Lishmai, because the Chatas done Shaloi Lishmai, it's possible anyway. But by the Asham, there's a liability of doing it on the outside, because it is viable inside, because of Asham Shaloi Lishmai, is actually going to be kosher. Now, although it's not fit to be lishma right now, because it hasn't reached the time, but it is viable for shaloi lishma right now. Oh, that's like Rav Chilki, who says that even though it's not fit lishma, it's going to be kosher shaloi lishma, to thus be liable on the outside shaloi lishma, not like Ravuna. Says the Gemara, no, la'olam shaloi lishma. Truth is, the case we're talking about is when it was done shaloi lishma, and therefore by chatas, it's going to be potter by doing it on the outside, because chatas shaloi lishma is not fit to be done either inside. Again, like we said, not lishma, not shaloi lishma. And the case that we're talking about is that it's mechus zman. Now the truth is, by ashram one would also be exempt, because, like Ravuna, that ashram is not fit to be done lishma inside because it's mechus zman, and neither shalei lishma, like Ravuna said, because if it's not fit lishma, it's not fit shalei lishma either. So how do we explain the brisa? Because Rebbe Lazahi, it's Rebbe Lazar, the makish ashram lechatas, that he compares the carbon ashram to the carbon chatas, like we just said before, where it is going to be puzzle, so too, even by an ashram when it's done shaloi lishma. So now, why did we leave out the carbon ashram? Why did we only say the case regarding being exempt of doing on the outside b'chutz, by chatas, not by ashram? So that's what the Gemara explaining is, no, it's not because the time of the Brisa held that actually by Ashram one would be liable. It's rather because it's the same reason. Since both of them are invalidated because if they were done inside, even Shalai Lishma, they would be possible. So therefore one's not liable for doing Shalai Lishma on the outside. So Tana Iker. So here it said the primary, which is the Chatas, that it's going to be exempt of doing on the outside. And for sure the secondary, which is the Ashram, which is learned out from Chatas, is also going to be exempt because it's the same reason where both of them are possible. Lishma, because it's Mechus Zman, and Shalai Lishma, because both of them, as Rebbe Eliezer holds, are both Chatzis and Ashram, and Pesach are possible if they're done, Shalai Lishma too. Which Rashi points out, the word Kol Shekein is a little forced, because why Kol Shekein? The primary halacha is Chatzis. If anything, Ashram is derived from Chatzis. Now, moreover, that what pushed Rav Huna, which was coming to answer the Brisa according to Rav Huna, to say that this Brisa is like Rebbe Eliezer, is because of the other part of the brisa that we quoted before, which we said has to be like Rebbe Eliezer to resolve that part of the brisa, which we mentioned before for Rav Huna. Now, additionally, is because according to Rabbanon, who do not learn out the halachas of Ashram from Chatas, so you can't say that we said only one of the cases, which is Chatas, and so too that was included the case of Ashram, because Ashram, according to them, is not learned out from Chatas. Now, as Rashi points out, although according to Rabbanon, actually the halacha would be, according to Rav Huna, that one would be pater even on not just chatas but also on asham, and the reason for that is because Rav Huna's logic, because there's nothing that's not kasher lishma but that would be kasher shalei lishma, but still you would not be able to explain the brisa like the Rabbanan, because if that would be the case, then the brisa should have said it not by chatas and then derived asham from there, because actually the Rabbanan do not derive asham from chatas, rather should have said the exemption by asham, which that would have told us both asham and chatas, and then the kol shekein would have made more sense, kol shekein chatas, which has another problem, that shaloi lishma is always a problem. In contrast, by ashram, it's not that shaloi lishma is a problem, it's just that if lishma is going to be a problem because of mechus zman, so too shaloi lishma. But, so therefore, it's a little bit forced. However, it had to be that he explained it according to Rebbe Eliezer as a way of resolving his opinion. So therefore, again, there's no raya, because it's not talking about the way we described it, that it's talking about the halacha of shaloi lishma versus lishma. Rather, it's even though it's Toma Shalai Lishma, but it's because of the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, and actually it's not just by Chatas, it's also by Ashram. It's not that Ashram would be Chayiv. Ashram actually would be Pater too. It's just that Ashram is learned out from Chatas, and therefore it says Chatas, but includes Ashram too. So the Gemara says again, Tashem Atzming, another Raya, not like Rav Huna. Chiyas Rav Dimi, Amor, when Rav Dimi came, he said, Tana Debe Rebbe Levoy. He brought a Braisa from the Yeshiva of Rebbe Levoy that said as follows. I would think that you would exclude from the liability of Shchut Echutz also carbon oila that's lacking time in the owners. The owner has not yet reached time to bring his carbon. And the case of Ashram Nazar, Ashram Etzaira, which this is exactly like the first brisa that we brought before. Now, however, when Rav Dimi was saying over this brisa of Reb Levi, he said that, and the Girsa takes the word minayin, and he says, V'nastav lehu tamud lechiyuv. Now, the teaching, the Gemara had brought a source that, although one would think that one would be exempt in these cases because it's not yet viable inside, that therefore one should be exempt on the outside, that no, there is a liability for doing it on the outside. But said Rav Dimi, but lo yadan, and the Girsa takes out the next words, mahi, my tamuda, but I don't know what the source was. And that Rav Ravina, he finished off the Brisa for Rav Dimi, and he said, the source was, as we brought this before, Shor Mikamakum. Why say these words of the types of animals that are seemingly superfluous to teach you that in the ox, it says to tell you in all situations one's liable. Kesev Mikamakum, it says lamb to say in all situations. Eiz Mikamakum, the goat to say in all situations. Which, as we said, comes to include these cases of Oila Mechusisman Bebailim, the Ashram Nazir, and the Ashram Etzairim. Now, we mentioned this question earlier that we said, what's the case talking about? Why are we only saying it regarding the Shor, not regarding Chatas? If we said it's talking about Bizmanli, then why is the Asham even Chatas? And if it's talking about Shaloi Bizmanli, we said, so what's the case? If it's Lishmai, so then why should Asham be Chayiv? It's not viable inside. Rather, we said, oh, it must be talking about Shaloi Lishmai that you see that regarding the Asham, although it's going to be Pater Lishmai, but it's going to be Chayiv Shaloi Lishmai, which is like Rav Chilki's logic, not like Rav Huna said, you can't have being putter on Lishmai and being chayv on Shalei Lishmai. Now, on that, as the Gemara, and the Gemara's question, well, hi, my room, you, what is the question that you're trying to support Rav Chilki and to refute Rav Huna? But maybe here also, it's Kedah Amr, like you said, we asked this Gemara's question just before, which we'd explain. We said that, no, it's not the way we're explaining it. It's actually talking about Bizman, and the time has reached, but it's talking about, like Rebbe Eliezer, who is since it's too much Shaloi Lishmai, and he compares Asham to Chatas, and therefore just as a tuffle, and so to include the Iker. So what exactly is this question on Rav Huna as if we're supporting Rav Chilki? We already refuted that question. Ah, and that's the Gemara, no. Amar of Nachman, as Rashi adds in the words by Yitzchak, no, here we cannot answer, like we had answered on this Brisa that we mentioned in the beginning of the Gemara, to say that the Brisa is talking about, this Brisa of Reb Levi, that's talking about Bizmanoi, and it's but it was done Shaloi Lishmai, and it's going to Rebbe Eliezer. Because as the Gemara is going to prove, it's obviously not talking about that case, and if you don't have that case to explain it, which would be the only resolution we had to say like Rav Huna, you're back to the only other way we could explain it, which is that it's talking about Asham, that's Shaloi Bizmanoi, and that you can be Chayiv Shaloi Lishmai, but Patur on Lishmai. Why? Says the Gemara as follows, because Mishum Durami, because there was a contradiction that was posed. Because you had this Brisa, the Tani, the Beir Blevoi, which was just quoted, at the Tani Levi, on another Brisa that Levi had taught. What's the contradiction? Levi's Brisa says as follows. Asham Nazir v'Asham Mitzari, these same cases of this first Brisa, which is the same Brisa Reb Dimi is bringing from Reb Levi. If you have the Asham Nazir and the Asham Mitzari, Sheshachtin Shalei Lishma. So regular Asham, that's Lord Shalei Lishma. So Ksherin, it's going to be valid, like every carbon besides Chatas and Pesach. But it's not going to fulfill the obligation of the owner, like we said, for those carbonas. Continues the Brisa, Shechatan mechuses man bebailim. Let's say this Nazar or this Mitzayra slaughters, brings it into the Azar, slaughters it, but it hasn't yet reached the time for the owners to really bring it. He hasn't reached his purification process in that stage yet. Let's say the animal is already 2 years old when they're supposed to bring their Ashram in its first year, and it's already in its second year. Says the Brisa, Psulin, so then they're going to be Pasul. Now, this contradicts the Brisa of the Beirub Levi, because here you have the halacha of mechuses man bebailim that's saying it's going to be pasul if it's brought inside. Now, as we always know, the classic rule of thumb is, if it's pasul inside, then one is going to be exempt for doing it on the outside. Now, that contradicts the brisa of the Yeshiva Reb Levi, which said this same case of the Asham Mitzayir and the Asham Nazir, that's mechuses man bebailim, that if one does it on the outside, one's going to be chayiv. On that, a Mashani Reb Dimi had resolved the contradiction. He said, loikash, it's not a difficulty. Khan, the Brisa of Levi is talking about Lishmai, when it's done for the namesake of the Chiyav of the Asham of the Nazar Mitzayra, that's where it's going to be possible if it's done Mechus Hazman, because it's not viable yet to be brought as his Asham. Khan, Shalei Lishmai, here in the Brisa of the Beirub Levi, that said one is going to be Chayiv for doing Mechus Hazman, Bebailim, outside, is when it's done Shalei Lishmai. Shalei Lishmai, as we said and as we're going to prove, that one is liable for doing that outside, because Shalei Lishmai is ro bifnim. Now, in contrast, again, the Brisa of Levi, which said that it's pasul, and so too, if it's pasul inside, you're going to be exempt from doing the outside, is tomorrow when they're slaughtered Lishma. So one thing that we see is from the fact that the Rav Dimi had asked it as a question, the Brisa of Levi on the Brisa of Bar Levi, obviously it's because Rav Dimi had heard that the Brisa of Bar Levi was even talking about the case of Mechus Hazman. And now that is what he's saying, because if it's not Mechus Hazman, so what's the question? Levi is talking about Mechus Hazman. What are you asking on the Beirub Levi? Maybe he's not talking about mechutz zman. The way we had answered for Rav Huna, that no, Rav Huna had said that it's not mechutz zman, it's bezmanoi and shalal shmal, like we said before. What's the question from Levi's Braisa, which is talking about mechutz zman in these cases? Obviously, it's because he held there was a contradiction, and that it was talking about mechutz zman. And still, the barley voice said you're going to be liable, even though it's not fit to be brought inside lishma. Still, it's fit to be brought shaloi lishma. And that's how he ended up explaining. It says that, oh, Bar Levi is talking about shaloi lishma. And that's what Yechayv is doing on the outside. But that supports Rav Chilki. We're talking about a case of mechus zman, and it's being done on the outside, where you're saying, as you're resolving both brais together, as Levi taught, if you're doing lishma, you're going to be putter. But if you do it shaloi lishma, like Bar Levi said, you're going to be chayiv. That's exactly Rav Chilki's premise, that you could have lishma putter and shaloi lishma chayiv, not like Rav Huna. So says the Gemara, first, another follow-through. Where another version of this question is, Rav Ashi Rami Masnitin. He posed the contradiction from a different source, not from two brises, but from our Mishnah, which again, our Mishnah also said the same idea, that if it's done Lishmoy on the outside, the Asham and the Chatos, so one's going to be Patek, it's not viable to be brought inside. And he asked that Abrais on the first Brais, which we taught before, which says that if one does it on the outside, this Asham of the Mitzar and the Nazar, one's going to be Chayiv. Mashan, and he gives the same answer. He says, no, Kan, Lishmoy, Amrish is talking about, like the Brais of Levi, that if it's done inside Lishmoy, it's possible. So if you do it on the outside, you're going to be exempt. But Vakan, Shaloy Lishmoy, but here by Bar Levoy, it's being done Shaloy Lishmoy, which again, these two questions prove the point, which is that the resolution tells us that it's like Rav Chilkia. That even though it's pasul shaloi lishmai and thus exempt, even though it's pasul lishmai on the inside, and because the mechus is man, and therefore you're going to be exempt for doing it on the outside, but you'll be chai for shaloi lishmai. Says the Gemara, le metabat yivted Rav Huna. Shall we say that this is a contradiction? This refutes the opinion of Rav Huna from this brisader of Dimi brought, which, as we just pointed out, you cannot resolve it as we had initially resolved it in the beginning of the daf, that to say, oh, it's not talking about mechus is man, it's talking about bezmanoi. And it's talking about like Reb Eliezer, and it's being done Shalal Lishmoy, and it's really Asham and Chatas. No, from the fact that he had asked the contradiction of the Brais on Levi on Bar Levi, the only way you could ask the contradiction in the first place is if you say it's Mechus Zman, because Levi's talking about Mechus Zman. What does that have to do with Bar Levi, who is talking about a different case, if you want to say it's Bizmanoi, but Shalal Lishmoy? So therefore, that refutes Rav Huna, because now you can't say the answer we said before, and then we're back to the question. Seems to indicate Rav Chilkia's premise. And that Amalach Rav Huna would tell you no. What are we talking about over here? You're right. It is the way we're proving, as the questioner of Dimi had asked, that it's mechus zman, that one is going to be liable, shalot shmoy b'chutz, but still, it's not a refutation of his opinion. Because kagoyin is talking about, for example, shehifer shtei ashamas l'achrayis, where the person had designated and separated two carbon ashams as insurance, where if one of them gets lost, so he'll have the atonement with the second one. Now, it's regarding such a case where he slaughtered one of them outside of the azara, before the time had reached, and he did it shaloi lishma, where he did it, let's say, for the namesake of an oila. Now, in this situation, since ultimately this one carbon, which he's not going to have the atonement for, would have been the one that it would have gone out to graze, because when you, an usham, when the owners have atonement with the other carbon, so then the remaining one goes out to graze, and then its value is used to sell and use the proceeds for the what's called the kaitz mizbeach, when the mizbeach is idle, to bring karbonis oila on that. Where the chad minayah, where one of them, which is the one that is not having atonement with, which is the one he's doing now on the outside, mi'ikara oilihi, from its inception was going to be a carbon oila. So hence, it is fit inside. If he would have slaughtered it itself as an oila, which is what shaloi lishma is, it's viable inside. And therefore, one would be chai of it for doing on the outside. In other words, it's not like Rav Huna was saying, when you have a carbon, that, look, it's not valid lishma, because the Hashem is not yet, has not reached his time yet. So he says, so then you can't say that it's going to be kasher shaloi lishma to be chayven on the outside. But this case is different, because this case, that Hashem essentially is not an Hashem, it's really an oila, because you have two Hashem separated, and the one that's not having the atonement for, that already from the beginning was an oila. So it's an oila, so that oila is viable inside, and therefore one's going to be chayven for doing it on the outside. As the Gemara continues, Tamid Beis, Kedrav Huna Marav. Damar Avuna Meravi says this halacha that Ashim shenitik l'ri'iyah, a carbon Ashim that is removed to be grazing, meaning that if it's removed from its status of being brought as a carbon and it's being given over to the shepherd until it develops a blemish, whereas the Gemara says in Tumurin Dafir Chesem and Alf, all the cases that by carbon chatas that it has to die, whereas Shekipur Baleh, Shemesu Baleh, all those cases, so by the Ashim it goes out to graze, In those cases, if v'shachotei stam, if let's say someone slaughters that asham just without attribution, the halacha is kasher la'ayla, it's valid as an ayla. What do you mean an ayla? It's an asham. No, because if from its inception it was going to be an ayla, it just usually has to go through the stages of developing a blemish, being sold, and then being bought as proceeds of an ayla, but it's already like on that status of the evidence as an ayla, and that's why in this case the Ravuna is going to be different and different. Doesn't refute the opinion of Ravuna. Generally an asham, which is not kasher l'shma, it's going to be not kasher shelo l'shma, and therefore exempt if you do it on the outside. And this case is different because it's not really an asham that's mechus hazman. In a sense, it's like a carbon ayla, and therefore it's fit inside to be chayiv if it's done outside, which is the shaloi l'shma, which is this bachutz, which is essentially an ayla, to be chayiv for doing on the outside. Now the Gemara continues with the next halacha of the Mishnah, that again, like the opening Mishnah of our perek, which was talking about exceptions to liability of doing something of a vayda of a carbon bachutz. So he said, if Hamala Mebasa Chatas V'chulu, went through a whole list of things, the first one being, let's say someone brings up, sacrifices the meat, the flesh of a Karban Chatas, which is generally eaten, if one sacrifices the Bachut, it's going to be Pata. So we learn the Braisa, turn around, we learn the Braisa, source for these halachas of our Mishnah. The Braisa goes through that whole list and says, Minayin, from where do we know there's halachas that, let's say, Lamayla Mebasa Chatas, if someone sacrifices the meat of a Karban Chatas, or Mebasa Asham, the meat of a Karban Asham, or Mebasa Kacha Kachem, the meat of a Kacha Kachem, which is the Kivsei Atzeres, the Shlama of Shavuos, or Mebasa Kachem Kalam, or the meat of a lower level carbon, like a regular Shlama, or Mebasa Aymer, the leftover from the carbon Aymer, where the fistful is burnt on the Mizbeach, but the rest of the Aymer barley offering is eaten by the Kahanim. Or the two breads of Shavuos, v'lechem apanim, or the 12 showbreads of the Shulchan that's eaten every Shabbos, or v'shirah menachos, or the leftover of any flour offering. Where do we know that if one sacrifices these things on the outside, Shabbat, that he's going to be exempt for the liability of doing in the Avodah B'chutz? Tamalayma, that's what the Pasuk teaches when it talks about the liability of doing halal B'chutz. It says Oila. It says Ashayala Oila, which will be brought up as an Oila, which teaches us ma oila shehi ru'i lahaloh, just like an oila offering, where all of it, including its meat, it's fit to be brought up on the Mizbech and sacrifice. Avkol shehi ru'i lahaloh, so to everything that's fit to be brought up on top of the Mizbech, where those things, if you do it on the outside, then you can be chayv, but the meat of these karbans, which are eaten, they're not burned, if one burns them on the outside, one's not going to be liable. Now, moreover, continues the Braisa, continuing on the items that were mentioned on Mishnah, minayin would we know that this exemption applies sha'afa yetzik, also the one who pours the oil on the flour offering, va'boil, the one who mixes it, va'poisa, the one who crumbles up those baked type of flour offerings, va'moilech, and the one who salts it, va'meinef, and the one who elevates it, va'megesh, and the one who brings it near to the corner of the mizbeach, va'mesad ha'shulchan, whoever organizes the table with the lechem upon him and the levaina on it, va'meitev esaneis, and someone that cleans up the candelabra in the morning time, va'akoymetz, and someone takes the fistful of the flour offering, va'makabel, whoever receives the blood and does all these avodas b'chutz, that his shepat is going to be exempt. Tamalayim, because the pasuk teaches, like we quoted part of it before, ashayala oilo izavach, if one's going to bring up carbon oilo or a sacrifice, which teaches us mahala shehigamar avod, it's saying regarding the sacrificing of the karbanas, that's what's one liable for doing on the outside, which that teaches us to compare it to the sacrificing, which is the conclusion of the service, where there's no other service after that in this carbon. You burnt it now in the Mizbech. Avkol shugmar avodah, but that teaches that the liability of Allah is also anything that's the completion of the service, which what we would include from that is, let's say, the pouring of the libations, where that's the last thing you're doing with it and drips down, burning of the incense, burning the fistful, burning the mechas kayanim, but all these things which they're not at the end of the processes, where you still have to, let's say, burn it, there's still things to do after you mix in the oil or take out the fistful, you didn't do the last process, for those things one's not chayv for doing halal b'chutz, as we learned in the Mishnah. Now then the Mishnah segued into related halachas regarding this liability, what we're talking about, b'chutz, which is related to the laws of Obama, doing a private altar out of the Azar of the Beis HaMikdash itself. So the Mishnah described the certain chronology regarding the liability and the prohibition of doing avodas b'chutz on someone's own private altar. So the Mishnah said, actually, hokum ha-mishkan mechulu, until the Mishkan, the tabernacle, was not yet put together in the Midbar, so then people would sacrifice their own karbanas on their own private altars called bamas, and the avodah was not done with kahanim, but they were done actually with the bechayim, with the firstborns of every family. Now, so related to this halacha, the Gemara says that Yasser Rav Huna bar Rav Katina kamed Rav Chisda. For Kokari, now as Rav Huna bar Rav Katina was sitting in front of Rav Chisda was reciting the pasuk in Shemais. The pasuk says, V'yishlach es nari b'nei Yisrael, that the youth of the Jewish people, they had sent them to go ahead and do the avodah, meaning they were bringing sacrifices there in the beginning of their sojourn in the Midbar in the desert. And Rav Chisda had explained, Who are these youths? These were the Bechairis. These were the firstborns. On that, Amalei Rav Huna Barav Katina said to him, Hachi Amar Rabasi said, Upasku. That day, although it's saying that the firstborn were doing the Avodah, that day, the service of the Avodah, the Karbanis, ceased to be done with the firstborns, because there, where those Karbanis they were bringing were by Har Sinai, they were commanded that the Avodah is going to be transferred from the firstborns to the Kohanim, as the Gemara is going to teach later on. And actually, from that point on, Nadav v'Aviv, the sons of Aaron, that whole first year until the Mishkan was put up, and then when the Mishkan was put up, that's when they died, the Avodah was done by them and not by the firstborns. Or actually, another version that Rashi brings is not that Upasku, that then they stopped, but what Rav Asi said was Upaske, meaning you have to stop over here in this part of the Pasig, in the Taimei Hakra, where that you should read it with an asnachta, which is a stop, and don't read it with the tam of the kra of a pashta, which is like as we would read it, which is if you read it with a pashta, it sounds like that it's going on the next part of the pasuk, which is that they sent the Nar B'nai Yisrael, Vayalu Eilis, and they're the ones who brought up the Karban Eilis, and sounds like they did the Avodah. But when you read it with a asnachta, that you stop, so that sounds like that this is disconnected and it's not related to the words Vayalu. And therefore you could read it that these youth were only sent to bring the carbon and just stand there, but Vayalu Eilis is for those who are valid to bring in the carbon Eilis. And who are they? That's Nadav Aviv, where because when they came to Sinai, the Kohanim were already designated to do it, as the Gemara is going to teach later on, and not the firstborns. Now, on that Savers, Rav Chisda thought, Lo Yisuvi Mimastitin, to refute what Rav Huna Barav Katina was telling him from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah taught that the Avodah was done by the firstborns until the Mishkan was put up. So that whole first year until the Mishkan was put up actually was not Nadav Aviv, but rather were the firstborns. So he was about to refute him from our Mishnah. However, Shammai, but then Rav Chisda heard, either was Rav Chana or Rav Huna, who is sitting and said over another teaching, the Ka'ama Mishmeder of Adabarav. And he said that Eila Sheyakirubi Yisrael Bamidbar, regarding the carbon Eila, which the Jewish people brought there in the Midbar, by Midbar Sinai, before Matan Tairo, this pasuk that we brought, B'yish Lechasnari, that they sent the youth to bring carbonis, Eina Tu'una Hesha B'nituach. That carbon Eila, although generally an Eila needs to be skinned and cut up to small pieces, that one did not require to be skinned and dismembered. Now, on that, Rav Chisda said to himself, Oisvei Brice, you know what? I'll refute him from a Brice, the Shavi Bakulu. Will that be equal and I'll be able to refute both of the statements that he just said over? I mean, I was going to ask him from my Mishnah, but now that he just said the second statement, I could bring a Brice that refutes both of those points. The Tanya learned a Brice that refutes both points. The Brice says, Achle Hukma Mishkan, until the Mishkan was not put up, which was already in the second year that they were there in the Midbar, Habamas Mutaris, so the private altars were permitted, Va'avoida Bibachiris. So that's refutation number one. The Avodah was done with the firstborns, not with the Kohanim. Now, moreover, continues the Brice, about Kol Kasherin LaHakrif, and every type of carbon was fit to be brought, which as the Brice explains, Behema, Chayev, Oev, they were able to bring domesticated animals, undomesticated animals, birds, Sechar, Menekevis, males, females, Tamim, and Balim, Mumin, whether they were unblemished or blemished, Tahirin, but only if they were kosher animals, Avalik, Tamim, but not non-kosher animals, and they were all brought as carbon oilis, which at this point sounds like that the only carbonis they brought there in the Midbar were oilis, which the Gemara is going to later refute and say that no, there obviously were other carbonis like Shlam that were brought. Continues the Braisa, the oilis shekribi Yisrael by Midbar, and the carbon oil that the Jewish people brought in the Midbar, by Midbar Sinai, to unahev shebenetuach, refutation number two. It did require to be skinned and dismembered. And concludes the Braisa, and the non-Jews, even in today's times, are permitted to do that because for them it was not forbidden to make their own private altars. But one thing is, Rav Chisda refutes both halachas that were said, which is A, that until the Mishkan was put up, not by Midbar Sinai, that it was done by the Bukharis, not by Kohanim. And second of all, the Eila that was done in the Midbar did require Hefshe v'Netuach. So the Gemara answers both questions by saying that yes, the Machlek is Tanoim. First, the Gemara talks about the halacha of if it was done by the firstborns of the Kohanim, says the Gemara Tanoi, it's a machlekes Tanoi. The Tanoi learned a Braisa. The Pasuk says in Shemais, V'gama kaihanim hanegashim el Hashem yiskadashu, that Hashem had told to Moshe Rabbeinu that also the priests that come close to Hashem should be separated from coming up onto Har Sinai when the Torah is being given, where although they're used to, they're accustomed to coming close to me and to serving to me, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, warned them that they should not come up to the mountain, only you, but not them. Now, who are these priests? Rishu ben Karchaim says, Zu precious b'chayris. This was referring to separating the firstborns, that they were being warned not to climb up onto the mountain. But Rebbe, he says, no, Zu precious Nadav Aviv. It was separating of Nadav Aviv, in other words, that the firstborns were not called over here the Kahanim, the priests. Rather, who are the priests that usually come close, that are being warned not to come up onto the mountain? That refers to Nadav Avihu, where because they were already made by Har Sinai, according to Rebbe, into the Kahanim, to the priests, and they're the Kahanim HaNegashim al Hashem, that they bring Karbanos, and they're the ones that are being warned not to go up. So you see, it's a Machlokes Tanaim, who at that point in time, by Har Sinai, were considered the Kahanim. Was it the firstborns? That's like one opinion that we said. Or was it the Kahanim, which is the other opinion that we said? So it's Machlokes Tanaim. Now the Gemara, however, asks, we could understand according to the opinion of Rebbe that said, like that opinion that the Kahanim were already the ones, Nadav Avihu, who the ones already did it that year, even before the Mishkan was put up, and therefore was saying that they're the ones who are usually accustomed to coming close to Hashem, they should be separated from going up to the mountain. So we could understand the Pasuk in Mayukra that when Nadav Avihu passed away, when the Mishkan was put up on that day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so it says in the Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, Hu asher dibra Hashem, lamer, this is what Hashem said, saying, Bekroi ve'akadosh, with my close ones I'm going to be sanctified, which, what does that mean? Because of what he had said at Har Sinai, in Shemos Yotes, that Hashem said, because pen yifritz b'm Hashem, because if someone's going to breach this gate and go up the mountain, Hashem might smite them, and since now they were warned at Har Sinai, again, because that's going like Rebbe, who they were the ones warned, they were Kahanim HaNegashim al Hashem, and they were warned already by Har Sinai not to go more than where they're supposed to. So here at when the Mishkan was put up, where they were not careful not to come in more than they were supposed to, because they came into the Heichel with the Eish Zara, so that's why they were smitten and they were killed, because it's referring to that idea which they were already warned by Har Sinai. According to the first opinion that holds to Reb Shuben Karcha, that no, Nadav Avihu were never forewarned because they were not the Kahanim HaNegashim al Hashem. It was referring to the firstborns. Sehecha Remiza. So where exactly was the death of Nadav Avihu alluded to, where he's saying, oh, this is what Hashem had said, Debekrei Be'Kaddish. When was it ever referred to that Nadav Avihu, the Kahanim, are going to get smitten? That was not referring to Nadav Avihu, that was referring to the Bechiris. So on that says the Gemara Dechsiv. It was referred to what it says in the Pasuk in Shemais, when Hashem said to Moshe, V'ne'adati Shamal of Nesol, and I will make myself gathered over there to the Jewish people, v'nikdash b'chvaydi, meaning in the Mishkan, and then the Mishkan will become sanctified with my glory. So this was said to Moshe Rabbeinu on the day when he was commanded regarding doing the work of the Mishkan. Here it was alluded to him before the Mishkan was put up, which now he was floating back to that idea to Aaron and telling him, oh, that's what Hashem had told me, because al tikri b'chvaydi, don't read that the Mishkan is going to be sanctified with my glory, ela b'mechubodai, with those who honor me. Meaning, on the day that the Shechinah will rest on the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is going to become sanctified with His honored ones, but it wasn't alluded to who until they actually died. We're davar ze'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, which I'm going to be, that my Mishkan is going to become sanctified through the death of my honored ones, the ones who honor me. But he didn't know who those were going to be until the sons of Aaron had passed away on the day the Mishkan was inaugurated. Now, once the sons of Aaron had passed away, then Amalai, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, Aaron Achi, my brother Aaron, your sons didn't die, only to sanctify the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was this idea, which was v'niktash b'chvaydi b'mechubadai, to notify that when the death of the great ones who fear Hashem, that Hashem is awesome on all those who fear Him and that know Him. And that's what he was telling him, that hu asher dibra elai, that this is what Hashem had told to me on the day that I was commanded regarding the building of the Mishkan, v'niktash b'chvaydi, with those who are the nechbadim and that are close to me, Hashem says, I'm going to become sanctified, which the death of the holy ones, which we're referring to, Nadav Avihu, that's what he was referring to, not by Har Sinai, because according to that opinion, it was not Nadav Avihu, but rather it was the Bechiris who did that later then. Now, continues the Gemara, that Kivan Shiyada Aaron, Shabana Bidui Mokim Hain, once Aaron knew that his sons were those who were considered those who know Hashem, and to the contrary, the reason why they passed away was because of their greatness, so Shastak, he was silent. V'kibul Schar, and they received reward for being silent in at the time of this trauma. Shanamak, he says, the Pasuk of Yikra, says, V'yidim Aaron, Aaron was silent. So you see that he was silent. Now, regarding the receiving of a reward, so it's brought in Bereishis Rabbah, that because of that, he merited that the next divine commandment was said solely to Aaron. Because it says after that in the Torah, the parsha of Shetui Yain, that the kind that are intoxicated are not allowed to go ahead and do the Avodah, and there it only says that Hashem said to Aaron and not to Moshe, and that was a reward for his silence. V'chim David, by David Malach, he says in Tehillim, Daim Lashem, be silent to Hashem, v'ischailoi, and yearn to Him. Which the interpretation, the drash, tells us, Ava bishama palucho chalolim chalolim, the word hischail could to be word of, that even though He makes many corpses from you to die, meaning like the sons of Aaron, at shataik, you should still be silent, which is Daim Lashem. He says in Kehelis, Eis lachashos veis ladarma, there's time to be silent, and there's time to talk, which is, sometimes a person is silent and then receives reward for that silence. Sometimes a person speaks and then receives reward for that speaking. It says the Gemara behind Dom Rabbi Abba Rabbi Yechanan. It says, what does it mean in Pasuk in Tehillim? Noire elekim mikdashecha. How awesome is God from your holy places? Which he reads, Al tikim mikdashecha. Don't read from your holy places. Ela mimikudashecha. Rather from those who are mikdash you. Which is, same idea. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does justice, judgment, regarding those who are His holy ones, meaning the tzaddikim who fear Him, then, and like another of you who passed away, so then He's feared, He's elevated, and He's praised. Because the term Elikim in that pasuk always refers to the Midas HaDin, the attribute of justice, whereas the term Hashem, Havaya, refers to that of kindness. So when is He Naira, when is He feared? When He does justice, Elikim, in Mikdashecha, in Mikudashim, in those who are His holy ones, like in this situation, Nadav Aviv. So the Gemara says, fine. We answered the first question regarding was the Avodah done by the Bechairis in that first year until the Mishkan was put up, was done by the Kanim, so that we said it's Machlegis Tanoim. But then the Gemara goes back, but Elikasha Ayla. We have the second question regarding the Ayla, which here we're learning that refutes what was said before, which was said that the Ayla in the Midbar did not require Hevshem and Toach, and this price says clearly that even that Ayla required to be skinned and dismembered. So the Gemara here also, it's a two Tanoim, it's a Machlekes Tanoim. The Tanakh learned the Bryce, Rabbi Shmuel, I mean, he says, Kalalis Nemr B'Sinai. When Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from Har Sinai, it was said to him in general terms. For example, like the Pasuk says over there, Mizbech Adam Atasli, make an altar of earth, which, and then Vizavachta Allah, and then you'll slaughter in it, Olesach, Veshlamecha. Now, it doesn't say over there in the Torah the specific halachas of Oyla and Shlam, where it was only the general category that was said over there. Upratis by Almaid. The specifics of the law were only said later on, once the Mishkan was put up, and then Moshe Rabbeinu would come into the Almaid, the tent of the assembly. That's where Tyrus Kayanim, which is the interpretation of the laws of the Yikr, was said to him. Now, it was only then that it was said to him that the Oyla has to be skinned and dismembered. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we understand that the Oyla that they brought in Har Sinai, which was before the Mishkan was put up, did not require Hevshem and Nituch, because then only the general concepts were said, Oyla and Shlam, but they were never told to skin and dismember. Rabbi Kiva Aimer, he disagrees. He says, no, Klalus Upratis Nemr B'Sinai. Both the general concepts and the specifics were said to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, which hence, already in Sinai, when they were told the general halachas, it included to be skinned and to be dismembered, and therefore their oilis did require Hevshem and Nituch. So we see both opinions as Machlekes Tanoim. But Venishna Boil Moed, but it was then repeated a second time when he was told the specifics in the tent of the assembly. Venishtal Shuba Arvis Mayav, and then it was said to him a third time in the area of Mayav, which that's what's known as Sefer Devarim Mishnah Torah, where Moshe Rabbeinu then repeated the whole Torah in the order, like it says in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, Be'eva Yardim Eretz Mayav, where Hayil Moshe went and explained the whole entire Torah. So therefore, again, it's a Machlekes Tanoim, and therefore it's not a difficulty on either opinion. Now the Gemara goes back to explain this brayse that we brought in, which continues on to the next daf, Omamar. So the time of the brayse had said, Hakol Kasherin Lahakar. All types of animals were vowed to be brought in the Midbar when they were bringing their Karbanis, all types of animals. So says the Gemara, not immediately, from where do we know this, that all types of Karbanis, which was until the Mishkan was brought, and then they had their own private bamas, so all types of Karbanis were brought. How do we know this? So Amar Avuni says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, regarding Noyach, which was also obviously before there was any Beis HaMikdash, any Mishkan. So when we see by a private altar what is brought, it says, V'yivin Noach Mizbech L'Hashem, after the Mabel, after the flood, Noach built an altar for Hashem. V'yikech Mekala Behem HaTahira, he brought from all the kosher animals, Mekala Oif HaTahira, for all the kosher birds. So Behem HaKameshmai, so we see, already said, all domesticated animals that it's mentioned, and says all the birds. And so too, Chaya B'chal Behem, so too, wild animals are included in the category of Behem, because as we find the Pasuk, and the Varm Yudalad says, these are the behemoths that you could eat. And included in that list is Ayil and Svi and Yachma, which are types of Chayah. So you see the Chayah is included in the general term of behema. So therefore you see that when Noach made a Bama, which is a private altar, there was no Mishkan, that he brought all types of animals, whether it be male and female, behemoths, chayas, nefesh, are all included in that list. And the Gemara in the next daf continues regarding explaining all the different types of animals that can be brought in the Bama, which was in that first year when the Jewish people were in the Midbar before the Mishkan was erected.